I know the title up there on the screen is Go Work, but that generally changes two or three times during the week. It kind of fits, but it's almost the opposite of what God's laid on my heart this week. And so we are going to be in Matthew chapter 21. We're going to start in verse 28, but just to kind of set where we're at in the Scripture, because we always want to take, anytime you're reading the Scripture, anytime you're studying the Scripture, you have to take it in context. If you do not take the Scripture in context, you are not taking the Scripture. You're taking your choice. And so always, always know what is going on prior to the Scripture, what type of thing it is that they're going through as that passage comes. Because you can take any Scripture and take it out of context and make it to mean anything you want. I could take a couple scriptures and say, you know, Judas went and hung himself, and take another scripture where it says, go ye and do likewise. But that's probably not going to work out very well. And so don't go back and tell people that the pastor told you to go hang yourself. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm getting at the importance of taking scripture in context. And so prior to this passage we're going to be in this morning, Jesus is going to tell a parable to the religious leaders. And he's going to talk about two sons. But prior to that, they had begun to question Jesus' authority. And in questioning his authority, they give him a question, and he answered their question with a question, talking about John the Baptist, by whose authority he came, because they didn't want to listen to John the Baptist and his message of repentance. But yet, the ones that they called the prostitutes and the tax collectors and those people did listen to John and they repented. And so that's taking place right before this, is this questioning of Jesus' authority. And he answers them with that question and says, if you'll answer me this question, then I'll answer you. And they would not answer. And so he comes back with a parable here as a response to them not answering his question. So let's look in verse 28. It says, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. Let's pray. Father, as we take your word, we pray right now that you speak to us. Lord, not through anything that I do, but just through your Spirit, Lord, that you would speak and teach us, make us aware of your desire to teach us this day. May we glorify and honor you. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, there's a couple things before we get to the sons, which we'll get to in just a minute. We need to stop and look at this passage because the meat of the parable, yes, that he's talking to them is trying to get them to understand that they were not listening to John. And so in saying this, he's trying to get them to understand the importance of hearing John and doing what John said. And so he uses these sons. But as we get into that, first let's look that Jesus says there was a father. And the father here, the man that is talking about, is God. And as he's talking about God being that father, the father of these two sons, some people can kind of get confused and say, okay, well, if they were both sons and they were both Christians, that's not what it's talking about. We have to start there. The fact that it calls them both sons of the Father, we understand that God, being the creator of all, is the father of all. Now, not in a sense of accepting Christ. And when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I became a child of God, and therefore He's my Father. It's not that sense. It's the sense of that He created everybody. So in the fact that He created all, He's the Father of all. That's what it's talking about. So He's talking to two of His creations here, is the way it's understood. And so in understanding that, every one of His creations, in this case, both of these sons, are called to go and do the will of the Father. Here He says, go into My field and work today. So God is calling to all people, come and bring glory and honor to Me. If you don't get anything else out of this today, understand one thing, is that God calls each of us to glorify Him. That's the reason we were created, was to honor and glorify God. He does not need me. He doesn't have to have me. He can use me, but He desires that I would glorify Him. That's why I was created. And so here we've got this Father making a call on both of His sons to go and do His will in His vineyard. So as we understand that, everybody in this place today is one of these two sons. And I'm not talking about right now in the sense of just a Christian versus a non-Christian. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that God the Creator created you to go out into His vineyard and do His will. His vineyard, His will. It's not your vineyard. Therefore, it's not your will. We have to understand this as we get into this passage. Now, if we look at the sons, I want us to focus mainly this morning on this first son. Because this first son does something that just, I can't even imagine as I read it, ever going up to my father when he asked me to do something and say no to his face. I cannot ever picture that. Not out of fear, but out of just respect. I could not do that to my earthly father. But you and I, weekly, daily, say that to our Heavenly Father. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then you say it every day. He has called you to Him, and you say, no, I don't need You, God. I'm not going to glorify You. I'm fine on my own. Maybe the son has his own vineyard. Maybe the son just wants to lay around the house. Maybe the son just wants to go hang out with some friends. But he point blank tells the father, I will not. And we can add words. We don't have to, but we can add words. I will not go and do what You told me to do. And that's where every Christian is at. They're in rebellion against the Father. Now, if you think that Christians are getting off the hook here, we're not. Because every single one of us, every single day of our lives, tell God, I will not. When He says, go and give a cup of water in My name, or go and share the gospel, or go and minister in this situation, you and I, by our actions, are saying, I will not. That's my Sunday school teacher's job. That's my Bible study leader's job. That's the pastor's job. That's somebody else's job. It's not my job. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to glorify You today, God, because I'm not going to go out there and share the love of Jesus with people. Somebody else will do that. That's their responsibility too. And so why should I do it and rob them of a blessing? Have you heard that one before? Because He told you to do it. Whether anybody else does it or not, He doesn't know here. This first son does not know what the response of the second son is going to be. And he point blank told the Father, I will not do what you're telling me to do. As Christians, we tell God that every day. Now, I know there's a lot of times I get up and I have the best of intentions to go and do what God's told me to do. And my plans get derailed because they're my plans. Here we have this first son that is in total rebellion against God, against his father. When his father says, go today and work in my vineyard. We don't ever want to get to that point, but we're there every day. But the problem is, there's this first son's going to do three things today that I want us to understand that we have to do. Because we're already doing the first thing he did with the rebellion. Surely Christians aren't rebellious. Are we all doing what God said? No, then therefore we're in rebellion. Because rebellion is disobeying what the Father told us to do. He tells him to do this. He says no. And then the Son does three things that we have to do. First, he recognizes his rebellion. We don't know how long, what kind of time frame fell between when the Father said go and he said I will not. Between that response and the but afterward, we don't know how long took place in there. Whether he said, I will not, and immediately he felt bad and he regretted it. Or if he said no and he walked away, and as he walked away, maybe he walked by the vineyard and he saw other people working and he regretted the fact that he told his father, no, I will not. I don't know. It doesn't tell us. We can't even guess how long of a time frame was in there. But I would say it probably wasn't very long. That's based on personal experience. Because when God tells me to do something and I, by my actions, do not do them, the longer, the more of amount of time I can put between me and that go do this, go in the vineyard, the more time I can put in there and not think about it, the less I'm apt to go and regret the answer. The longer you put off obedience, the easier it is to stay in rebellion. The son, the first thing he did is he recognized the rebellion. We have to recognize that we're in rebellion daily. It's easier for us just to forget it, go through the day, and put that time behind us. But we can't do that and be obedient to the Father. So he recognized his rebellion, and then something happened. It says he regretted it. There was a change of heart. There was a transformation of heart that took place when he realized what he had done. Man, I just told my father no to his face. There are a lot of people that recognize rebellion and they never get to this next stage. There have been times in my life when I knew I was not in God's will and I rebelled against Him and I was okay with it. There are times that you are in rebellion with God and you're okay with it. We shouldn't be. There has to come a point when we realize that there needs to be a transformation of my heart to where I recognize the rebellion and something changes. Because I realize, why would the Father want me to go into and work in His vineyard? And He just says, today. You ever notice that? It doesn't say, go and work in my vineyard forever. It says, go work today in my vineyard. He realized that it was for the Father's glory to work in the vineyard, and it was probably for His good. Because as a son of the owner of the vineyard, the benefits are going to trickle down to you. But I think the change of heart was when he realized that he was in rebellion and that hurt. When I'm in rebellion or when you're in rebellion against the Father, take a look at that cross. And if that doesn't hurt, there will never be a transformation of heart. To stop and think about some of the songs that we sang this morning, and I can't even remember them right now. That's my memory. It hasn't been that long. But it was that the wonder that God would love even me. Why would He love me? Why would He go to Calvary for me? When I stop and think of that, and He's saying, I went to Calvary for you. I'm asking you just to go into the vineyard just today. Tomorrow's another day. He's asking you to go just today. My response, I want to put it off till tomorrow. He doesn't ask you to go tomorrow. Now, He may tomorrow ask you, but God is focused on the here and now. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day that you may lead someone else to know the love of the Lord. Today is the day that counts, because your life is but a vapor which appears for a little bit and then vanishes away, James tells us. We're not promised tomorrow. And neither is that person in your office, in your school, wherever you're at. Today is the day He needs you in His vineyard. Because today is the day that counts. There was a transformation of heart when He surrendered His will, the Son, surrendered what He wanted to do to decide He needed to do what was best for the Father. Now you and I, or especially me, I can't speak for you, but most of us probably have trouble surrendering that will. You know, I get up each morning and I know that I'm going to come to the office and I know that I'm going to study and I know that I'm going to pray and I know that I'm going to see people and I know that I'm going to do all the things that God has set before me. And there are a lot of times I look back at the end of the day and I said, I think I was in my vineyard instead of His. It says, go to my vineyard. Man, I have it picked out where the vineyard I want to go to is all these people that are real receptive of God's Word and so loving and so compassionate and so patient and all of these things. That's the vineyard I want to go work in. But He says, go to my vineyard. That's what He calls us to do. And there has to be a transformation of heart to where I surrender from my vineyard to His. Because He went to that for me. The transformation of heart. He regretted it. And man, that's great. But you can't stop there. Because there's been times I've sat back and I've looked and I knew God had talked to me and was pushing me to talk to someone, and I regretted it because I didn't. And the next day, I did the same thing. I regretted it, but nothing changed. I recognized my rebellion. I regretted the fact that I didn't do what He called me to do. But I went right on not doing it. He recognized his rebellion. He regretted it. Had a transformation of heart. And it says, and he went. We know that all of those things led up to the fact that I'm going to go to the vineyard. What takes place in the vineyard is not up to this son. That's up to the Father. It's His vineyard. He's in control. God is in control. He's just saying, Steve, go. He's just saying, go to you. We can't just feel bad about not doing what God tells us. Something has to change. Maybe he has to get off the couch. Maybe he has to get out of his own vineyard. Maybe he has to quit hanging around those people that don't want to go to the vineyard. I don't know where he was at, but I know where I'm at, and you know where you're at. And if we're not in the Father's vineyard today, then we're in rebellion. It says that he went. There was action towards obedience. It never tells us that he made it to the vineyard. It just says he went. We assume, we understand that he probably made it to the vineyard. But even if he didn't, his heart was moving him in the right direction. Sometimes I think God tells us go just to see if we will go. Go to Zimbabwe. Get your plane ticket. Get to the airport. No, I'm going to change my mind. I just wanted to know if you were going to be obedient. I just wanted to know if you would do what I called you to do. Sometimes that's all God wants, is just to know that you would be obedient. Look at Abraham and Isaac. Took his son up there. He was going to sacrifice his son. And God says, no, I know you're obedient. Sometimes God just wants to know if you and I are going to be obedient. And unfortunately, there are a lot of times that we're not, because we're still in rebellion. But all it took was recognizing, and then a change of heart, and then an action towards obedience. That's all it takes to go from rebellion to obedience, is a change of heart. Quickly, let's look at this last son. Because unfortunately, maybe there might be some of those around too. So it says, he went to the second son and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. There are so many out there that have made verbal confessions. God, I'll do what you want. And that's it. They spoke from the mouth, but it never changed their life. It didn't even change one day. He said, I go, but he did not go. Obedience is what God calls for. Obedience to what? Here he's talking, and remember we're taking this in context, so he's talking to these two sons to relate a message to the chief priests and the religious leaders. And he wants them to understand that John was saying there must be repentance. If there's no repentance, then there's no obedience. If there's things in your life that shouldn't be there and they are, then there's no repentance. And if there's no repentance, I don't care how many times you walk this aisle, I don't care how many times you fall down on your knees and pray, if you don't repent, and that means to turn away from and turn to, if you don't repent, then there is no obedience. There is no such thing as partial obedience. That is one of the hardest lessons I've ever had to learn as a Christian. Because I feel like, God, I do 80% really well. But if you break one part of the law, you're guilty of it all. I believe that's somewhere in there. Obedience is the key. And Jesus himself, here he's talking about John, who come preaching a message. It says, John came to you in the way of righteousness. Righteousness only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says that he wants all to come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It's in 2 Peter 3:9. That's what he desires. But verbal commitment without obedience is rebellion. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that everybody in here deals with rebellion every single day. I was so blessed. I had three wonderful children and never dealt with rebellion once. Now, we disagreed. They weren't perfect. The older two weren't perfect. But there was never out-and-out rebellion. When they didn't want to do something, doesn't mean they did it. They might have complained, but they did not ever look at me and say, Dad, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I never heard that statement, not one time. I was blessed. And that's why I can't understand how a person would ever be able to say no to their father. And as sad as it is to think about that statement, I do it every day to the Heavenly Father. That's where we're at. So if you're in rebellion because all you've ever done is verbally say, hey, I'm religious, and you've never followed Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He's never changed you that day, you've never had that day in your life where you changed, where you surrendered your heart to Him, then you're in rebellion. But all that has to take place is to acknowledge what He's done for you. When He came to earth, He lived that life and He died on that cross so that you wouldn't have to. Understand that and have a change of heart, and He will wipe it all away. Not the consequences for your sin, but the penalty. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He will cast your sin as far as the east is from the west and remember it no more. That doesn't mean I won't have consequences here and now. That means eternally it's wiped away. All because He died on that cross for me to take the penalty for my sin. He's asking for a change of heart, that you would come to know Him, that you would come to accept Him as your personal Savior. And Christian, we have to understand the only time we ever come and confess is when we acknowledge that we're wrong. If I never acknowledge that I'm in rebellion, there will never be confession for it. And the only way there will never be rebellion is if I'm in perfect obedience. So what does that mean? Yes, He's forgiven me for my sins. My standing as a child of God will never change. But my daily walk does this. Because I follow Him sometimes and other times I'm in rebellion. But it comes to a change of heart. for me daily. I'm going to end on this. He said to the son, go and work today in my vineyard. The choice is yours of which son you will be. Recognize, transform the heart and action. Or just keep talking religion. It's up to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this message. God, I know it was for the Pharisees. I know it was to try to get them to understand everything that you wanted them to understand. And Lord, I pray that today that you would help me to understand everything you want me to understand. I pray that you would penetrate me with your word and this place with your spirit. Lord, that the things we do would seek to glorify and honor you today. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving each of us. May we not walk out of here in rebellion. In your precious name, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Amen.